Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I have another author interview for you today. You might recall, if you've been listening for a while, that in August, I interviewed Marianne Marlowe about her debut novel, Some Kind of Magic. And today, I have her back on the podcast with her second novel. It's the second novel in the Flirting with Fame series, and this one is called A Crazy Kind of Love. In the first novel, we have Adam and Eden as the main characters, and Eden has a brother named Micah, who is also a musician. He appears throughout the book, off and on. He's a secondary character, but he's the main character in this new book, A Crazy Kind of Love. He and Joe are the main characters and the ones who are developing romantic interest in each other and a relationship. So we get to return to that world that we encountered with Adam and Eden, but now we get to see a different side of that world. We get to see not only Micah from a new perspective, but we also get to see Adam and Eden a little bit from a new perspective. Rather than the story being about them, they're secondary characters. And so we get to return to that world. We get to see characters from different perspectives. We get to revisit a few characters from that first book. And we get to meet Joe, who is the main female character in this new book. So let me give you the blurb from the back of the book. Celebrities hold zero interest for photographer Joe Wilder. That's a problem, since snapping pics of the stars is how the pretty paparazza pays the rent. So when Joe attempts to catch a money shot atop the broad shoulders of a helpful bystander, the only thing she notices about the stranger she straddles is that he's seriously hot. Only later does Joe learn that he's also Micah Sinclair, one of rock's notorious bad boys. Soon Joe is on the verge of getting fired for missing a Micah Sinclair exclusive, until she's suddenly being pursued by the heartthrob himself. But how can she be sure the musician's mind-blowing kisses are the real deal? Her colleagues claim he's a media whore, gambling on some free PR. But something has Joe hoping Micah's feeling the same powerful pull that she does. A pull so strong she can't resist becoming his latest love, even if it means she might become the media's latest victim. So as I said, we get to return to this world that we encountered in the first novel, but it's not a duplicate of that first novel, of course, because it's very different. We had Eden and Adam. Eden is a scientist. She encounters Adam under what she thinks might be false pretenses because she is wearing a certain perfume that she's worried has attracted him other than just herself. Now we have Joe, who is a photographer, a photographer for tabloids, which she's really not very good at. She's a wonderful photographer, but she's a terrible tabloid photographer. And she meets Micah under similarly silly kind of circumstances, another case of her not knowing who she was talking to. And so then they encounter each other, and they both have to figure out if the other one is using them to advance their career. So Joe worries that Micah is using her to get his name out there to get more publicity, and Micah worries that Joe is using him to, you know, get her name out there in the tabloid that she works with to appease her boss, etc. So you have all of those great romance tropes with kind of, you know, the initial meet cute and then the misunderstandings as they get to know one another, trying to figure out what the other's motives are, and then the developing attraction, the developing relationship, the evolution of that relationship as it moves on. So I really liked this book. I liked the first one. Marianne is a wonderful writer. She writes with warmth and heart and humor. The characters are always very well developed and very human, very likable. and very nuanced, so I really appreciate her style of writing. But now I'm going to turn it over to Marianne so that she can talk about her book rather than me talking about her book. So here we go with the interview with Marianne Marlowe, author of A Crazy Kind of Love. Hi, Marianne. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you again for having me.
Thank you for being here again. It's wonderful to talk to you once again. For those who may not have heard our first interview, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Yes, my name is Marianne Marlowe. I live in Central Virginia, but I've kind of moved all over the place, and I draw from different places that I've lived and different jobs that I've had and different hobbies that I've had. My first book, Some Kind of Magic, is about a rock musician, and the second book follows another character who's also a rock musician, and that's the book we're talking about today, Crazy Kind of Love. And basically, I like to write romance, contemporary romance, but I like to read fantasy, and that's about it.
Okay, thank you. I know you've obviously been publishing a second book since we last spoke, but what have you been up to anything else? Have you had time for anything else?
I finished writing the next book that I have contracted with Kensington.
Oh, wow.
And turned that in last Friday, so fingers crossed.
Congratulations.
That goes okay.
Yeah, that's exciting. Let's talk about the new book. It's called A Crazy Kind of Love, as you said. Can you give us a brief overview of the story?
Okay, so the main character, Jo Wilder, is a photographer, and she's working as a paparazzi to pay the rent, but it's not her main love. She would rather be doing something more artistic. And as she is out on the rounds trying to hit the beat and make some money and get some good pictures, she ends up running into Micah Sinclair, who is the brother of Eden from the first book. And she doesn't quite realize who he is until after the fact, but she ends up getting one picture and nothing more of him. And this leads to her boss having her kind of follow up on him and try to weasel into his life. And they end up having a romantic relationship.
Yeah, her boss is quite the piece of work. He's definitely a really good character that you love to hate.
Yeah, he's a villain.
Yeah. How was writing the second novel different than writing your first book, Some Kind of Magic?
Well, with Some Kind of Magic, you know, I didn't have a notion of the world or the characters when I started. It was kind of a concept book, and I was trying to figure out how to best hit that, the formula that I wanted to get between how the characters related to each other. And it took me like 3 tries of completely rewriting that book to get the actual relationship I wanted between Eden and the science that she was working with and her relationship with Adam. And I don't write like a lot of people do from an outline. I kind of just go and I figure out characters as I go. So I had to kind of work out the details of the world and the characters. Whereas with Crazy Kind of Love, I already knew Micah a little bit. And I knew the world, and it was more about just kind of following them and seeing what would happen if I put them in these different situations. And it came out a lot faster.
Yeah, okay. I do need to interrupt so we can take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, Marianne will be speaking more on what it was like to write a second novel in the same world as the first, how it was different, how it was similar, etc. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. We'll be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
And we're back with the GSMC Book Review Podcast and my interview with author Marianne Marlowe about her second novel, A Crazy Kind of Love. And so talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, Micah is Eden's brother and Eden's the main character in the first book. So Eden and Adam show up in this book a little bit. Was that strange for you to be writing your main characters now as secondary characters and one of your secondary characters as a main character?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, Eden is a tough little cookie anyway. So from the outside, she's a lot harder to sort of get to know than she was when I wrote her from the inside perspective, where you can see all of her vulnerabilities and everything. But from the outside, she just seems really quite, like she's got no invulnerabilities at all. And it was kind of fun to kind of see her as other people see her. Micah is a lot easier because I think he appears as he is. I mean, when I started getting to the inside of it, you know, thinking about how he would perceive things, it's sort of like just all out there with him.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you did a really good job on that because having read the first book and then reading this book, it was kind of strange to see Eden from the outside perspective, and I was like, oh, she is, yeah, this is different, you know, so we are seeing her not from her own perspective, but from that outside perspective, so yeah, you did a nice job on that. Was there anything specific that inspired Micah's and Josie's story for you?
It was a suggestion. I hadn't actually planned on writing a second story for Some Kind of Magic, and I was asked by someone if I would write Micah, and I was sort of taken aback because Micah's a bit of a flirt and a, you know, I mean, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, wow, that's an interesting character. I don't know how that's going to work out, you know, if I try to give him a romance, because he just didn't really feel that like a romance hero to me at first. And but as I started to go with it, it worked out because I thought that putting him in the situation that I did, it enabled him to kind of work through some of that.
I really liked Joe's character. I appreciated the complexities and the nuances that you gave her. I mean, she's from the South. She's now living in New York. She is type 1 diabetic. I mean, she's got all these layers. She's a photographer, but she's working in this tabloid business that she's not very good at. Can you talk a little bit about Joe and her character?
Yeah, again, I don't plan very much ahead of time when I'm writing. Like, a lot of people do character sketches to figure out who somebody is, but I just kind of plow in and let them reveal themselves to me. And I was actually 3 chapters into writing this before I realized she was diabetic.
Hmm.
And I went back and looked at what I had written, and I realized that the clues were already in place. I just needed to kind of figure out how to, you know, show it a little bit more. And then I needed to do a lot of research because I'm not diabetic, but and I talked to people who were diabetic to make sure I got that angle right and had some readers. And then, you know, being from Georgia, my family lives in Georgia, so I thought it would be fun to have her have a Southern background. But then, you know, like I said, as I'm writing along, it turns out her father's not American. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I also thought you did a great job with that aspect, too, because her father is Indian, and there's a lot of identity stuff for Joe in this book. You know, she talks a lot about not feeling like she's quite enough for one parent, and you know, she never sort of felt like she fit in with either side of her family. And I think you did a nice job of seeking out those identity issues and just showing us that human aspect from Joe's character so that we could understand her more.
Right, and I think that's something that it's. I mean, in her case, it's having the dual heritage of India and America. But I think everyone has these sort of layers of hidden identity that don't necessarily reveal themselves as externally as we might want, or maybe we don't. But you know, everybody has these kinds of maybe experiences that they've gone through that they don't know how to talk about with other people, maybe traumas or something that's a part of their identity. And with her, it's like her Indian doesn't really show itself on the outside. There's something she knows and that's internalized that is important to her. But it's just one of those many things that just kind of makes her unique.
What kind of research did you do for the story besides, obviously, you researched type 1 diabetes? Do you do photography, or was that something that you researched?
I haven't done photography in years. But, you know, when I was younger, I had my camera. I have a nice camera for videotaping concerts, but for photography now, I mean, I used to do the dark room and everything back when I was younger.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, it's a lot different now with digital and everything.
Yeah. much, much different.
How about India? Have you been to India?
I would love to go to India. That's on like the top of my list. I have a complete fascination with India. I've read a lot of novels set there, and I know a lot of people from there because I work in IT, and about probably almost 50% of our people I work with are from India. So I have a lot of exposure. I used to live in New Jersey in an area that was right next door to Isilan, which is very, very heavily India population. So India had a lot of friends from India, but it's one of those places I almost got to go there once, and then it didn't work out.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like a really beautiful and fascinating country. So is there something that stands out to you from this book that is kind of a favorite thing, whether that's the characters or the writing or anything that stands out for you?
So, like I said, as I write, I figure out where the story's going. And this one, I didn't have any clue how it was going to end. And I got to about two-thirds of the way through, and all of a sudden it started to make sense to me, like what had to happen. And it was really fun to watch it play itself out as I was coming up with it, because I didn't plan any of it. And it just, it was all there. And it's always fun when that happens, when you've subconsciously been writing towards the thing that you end up needing to do. And that's why the book ended up being, I didn't have as many revisions to go through on it as I did the first time, because it just worked out. The only thing I had to do was make sure I didn't, like, I get to the end and I start writing like crazy and it just all comes out in a big rush. And so I had to slow myself down and make sure that I covered all of the, you know, make sure I had a nice enough anticlimax.
Right. I'm always fascinated when I talk to authors, because it does sound often like characters just sort of do things on their own. You know, they say, and then the character suddenly did this. And I'm always just fascinated how that works. How it's almost like your fingers and your brain do something that you're not aware of.
It's true. Best laid plans. I'll sit down with an idea that I think I'm going to write, and characters just won't do it. And you know your characters, so you know if you're trying to make them do something that's just out of character for them, and they just won't do it.
So what's next? You said you just finished a third novel. Can you talk about that at all?
Sure. It's called Dating by the Book, and it's pretty complex. It has a lot of different aspects to it. The main character, Madeline, she owns a bookshop, and she runs a book club, but she's also an author, and her first book is about to come out, and she's just received a pretty mediocre to bad review on it, and she gets angry and she writes to the reviewer and tells him off.
Oh.
Which you should never, never do.
Yes.
But it begins a correspondence with him, and he challenges her that the romance in her novels would be better if she actually had more experience, which is funny to her because she not only has, she's recently been engaged, but her she was jilted, and she's surrounded by guys that are all interested in her, but she's just kind of keeping them all at a distance. But with the challenge to give these guys a go, she starts dating each one of them. But she's also, like I said, has this book club that's going on, and each of them kind of start falling out into romance hero tropes. So she's exploring like each kind of different guy.
Fun. It's like a romance primer almost, it sounds like. You get to experience all the different romance themes.
Yeah. And so like there's, and then reading all these books like Jane Eyre and you know, you'd have the Rochester type or St. John Rivers type or whatever.
Oh, fun. I'm excited. That sounds great. So we talked a little bit last time we spoke about Pitch Wars. Were you a mentor for Pitch Wars this year?
I was, my third year. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And how did that go?
It was great. The first year that I did Pitch Wars, I had a co-mentor, somebody who got picked by my mentor to work on our novels at the same time. And she's become one of my best friends, and actually this last book was dedicated to Kelly Newby, and she and I became co-mentors together this time, so we got to work on a couple of different novels at the same time, and we picked two people to work with this time, and both of them were amazing authors and did some great work, so we were really, really pleased.
I am going to jump in here so we can take our second break of the podcast, but I will say that I love the communal aspect of what Pitch Wars sounds like, how people can get a mentor who will help them kind of navigate that first novel, help them to do the editing. It just sounds like a wonderful communal relationship, and I think it's great that that is out there and available for authors, both the mentors and the mentees. So when we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more about Pitch Wars and kind of the logistics of it, how it works. So stay tuned. You are listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
We're back with the GSMC Book Review Podcast, here to wrap up my interview with author Mary Ann Marlowe about her second book, A Crazy Kind of Love. Can you talk a little bit about how that process works? I mean, how do the mentors find or choose the mentees? Just how does that work in terms of figuring out who's going to work together?
So every, towards the end of August, towards the end of July, mentors who are involved will put up a wish list of what types of books they're looking for. So mine are usually romance, very romance heavy. They may be fantasy, but with romance in them. Other people might be looking for sci-fi and the different age groups, YA and adult. And the people that are interested will go through the different wish lists and try to identify which mentors they might fit with the best. And then there's a submission period where they will submit the query letter and the first chapter of their novel to the different mentors that they want to work with. And we go through that, our submissions, and we identify one mentee that we'd like to work with, and we pick that person. And then for the next 3 months, we give them notes on how to develop the novel to have better, you know, structure, or maybe intensify the chemistry or the characters, or however they need to amp it up, and give them advice on querying. And then in November, there's an agent round where their first, they put up a pitch and the first page of their novel, and agents come through and read through them and make requests. And then after that, it becomes sort of like regular querying, except for Pitch Wars has kind of become this weird, has a lot of energy to it, and right around the agent round, there's always a couple of different manuscripts that all the agents will like request. I'll get like four. They just have 40 requests on like one manuscript.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, that one's, you know, it's going to get an offer right away. But for most of us that go through it, it ends up just becoming like a query. It's just a main thing about Pitch Wars that makes it so valuable is that you make a lot of friends, and those friends just last forever. I'm still best friends. I talk to every single day the people that were mentees the year that I went through.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like when I see on social media, there's always interaction during this time, especially in November. There was a lot of encouragement and story sharing, and, you know, saying if you don't get a response right away, don't worry, this was my experience. And so it just sounds like a really great community.
It's very supportive. And yeah, there's a lot of different, like I said, levels, because some people are like going to be chased after, and then there's other people up at the other end that might not get any requests at all, and it's a terrible feeling. But on the other hand, everybody has a different journey, so lots of people come out and will say, look, you may be having a harder time right now, but look, like 3 months from now, you may have an agent, and the people that had all of the requests, maybe they won't work out for them. You don't ever know.
Right.
It's different for everybody. And I guess I didn't get an offer when I went through Pitch Wars, and I ended up querying a different novel and getting an agent through a totally different novel.
Well, thank you for sharing that. In terms of your internet presence, where can people find you? You have a website, right?
I have a website, MarianneMarlowe.com.
Okay, and where can people find you on social media?
Twitter, I'm Marianne Marlowe. And then I'm on Facebook, and that I think might be Marlowe Marianne. I'm not quite sure anymore. But yes, if you go to my website, there's links.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you would like to talk about in terms of your books or writing or anything?
See, right now it's December, so I'm reading. I don't write in December.
What are you reading, if I may ask? I'm always nosy.
My list is long. Right now I'm reading Laura Brown's Friends with Benefits Zone. This is her second book. Her first one is Signs of Attraction. They're both about deaf characters. They're pretty interesting. And I have like a lot of friends I'm reading for right now. Like, I'm not reading for them, I'm just reading them because I haven't had a chance to all year.
Any plans for the new year in terms of writing or working on books?
Yes, I have a book that I wrote about 2 years ago that I'm going to get ready to send out possibly on submission. It's done, but I need to revise it. My agent and I are going to be working on that. It's sort of a dangerous liaisons type retelling, but set in a current Wall Street banking sort of situation. Not quite the same as what I've got out there right now, but
that's fun though. That, you know, it's nice to go in a different direction sometimes and explore different genre, or not genres, but different aspects of the genre.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on a second time. I loved both of the books, so thank you for speaking with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk to you.
Thank you. Once again, thank you to my guest, Marianne Marlowe, who came back for a second interview. I did not scare her off with the first one, so that's always a good feeling when people come back. And thank you to her not only for coming back, but for writing such fun books in her Flirting with Fame series, first of which is Some Kind of Magic, and then this new book, which is A Crazy Kind of Love. You know, Christmas is coming, and if you want a really fun, great, entertaining and kind of lighthearted read, if you want to buy yourself a Christmas present or if you have friends who love romance, then I highly recommend both of these books. They would make great Christmas presents. So thank you, Marianne, once again. Thank you, my listeners, for tuning in. I hope you will join me again on Thursday. I have author K.M. Fortune on the podcast on Thursday. She writes post-apocalyptic dystopian novels that are set about 130-ish years in the future or so, and it's kind of eternal winter, and I don't want to give too much away, but it's a very interesting premise, so you definitely want to tune in and hear K.M. Fortune speak about her series, The Forever Winter Chronicles. In the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, any app that you use for your mobile device, and you can follow us on social media. I would love to hear from you on social media. Come and interact however you see fit. You can find the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. We also have a blog. If you want to read a little bit more on each of the author interviews, you can do that at www.gsmcbookreview.blogspot.com. Thank you again for joining me. Please join me again on Thursday. But in the meantime, go out and get yourself lost in a good book.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.